The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
This budget for Pennsylvania, you think about school choice, you think about what we're recovering from post-pandemic. And then the author of this great article that we'll get into, just really getting into the details of the nation's report card, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, that NAEP, some shocking numbers with regard to the proficiency of children in Pennsylvania. And looking at this bloated budget, let's welcome in now the great Andrew Holman, Commonwealth Foundation, policy analyst.
Now, do I welcome him in with boos?
With what?
With booze.
With booze?
Yeah, like as in like booze because he's a
like
Red Sox
tequila?
Fan. Like boo.
Oh.
No, no, like boo. Oh, you know what? I got a good intro. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me get this one going. Let me go.
Yeah, because you have to. This is your first time, so. There we go. Andrew Holman.
How you doing?
How are you? Good morning.
Doing well. Good morning. I appreciate the intro. Go Sox.
Go Sox. Come on. You're a Pennsylvania guy. Philly don't. You're at the Temple University. How do you end up a Sox fan, man?
My dad's from Boston, so I grew up with it. And it was great growing up over the past few years. It hasn't been as good, except for my Celtics.
Do I ask him?
Are you an Eagles fan?
Yes. There it is.
I'm not an Eagles fan.
No. Get him on the show, Don.
Man.
Oh, be out here.
See, I was going to ask you all about the serious stuff first, but we had to vet you as the sports fan first, because it's draft day after all, so we had to have some fun first. Oh, my goodness.
Understood.
Well, listen, we appreciate you. I know that you graduated top of your class at Temple University. Criminal justice minor. What was your major? Can I ask that? What was your major at Temple?
Yeah. I was a political science major, believe it or not. I really appreciated my time in Temple's program.
All right. Yeah, great local school, unfortunately, in North Philadelphia. So, and so Commonwealth Foundation, you started in the fall of 2021. And you started with, you interned with the Americans for Fair Treatment and Gun Owners of America. So you're a Second Amendment guy.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, you think? Okay, so for our audience, that kind of counters the fact that you're not an Eagles fan, you're not a Sixers fan,
just trying to sell you.
And you're not a Phillies fan, but he's a really strong Second Amendment guy.
With a great head of hair.
You got that going for you.
Thank you.
So let's get to the budget. We had to get to know you a little bit, Andrew Holman. So take us through the budget. You've done, due diligence looking through this, but you call this basically an extreme spending binge, and then you go through what really I think the most poignant moment in the piece that you've written, Commonwealth Foundation, is looking at children, poor performance. So take us through what you see here with Shapiro's bloated budget.
Yeah. So I think it's, first of all, it's important to establish that right now the state is spending in a significant budget deficit, about $3.6 billion. And Shapiro's proposal, he proposes increasing state spending by 8.1% at a time where the state does not have enough money to cover the current level of spending. So as proposed, his budget would create a $4.8 billion budget deficit. It would exhaust our rainy day fund, exhaust our general fund reserves and draw $1.6 billion from our rainy day fund reserves. On top of this, it does not include any significant school choice programs and this is something that he's campaigned on, improving opportunity for all of Pennsylvania's children, and it's not included in his budget proposal.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that he got, if a Republican, for example, had promised, and he even went on Fox News, remember, when he was running, but had promised all of the vouchers, school choice, et cetera, and then drew the line in that line item veto before and gets away, you know, gets away with it, basically. I mean, nobody, I mean, we talk about this issue all the time, but it's, it is amazing to me that nobody talks about that, and we need it. Go through, can we, I'm going to jump ahead, I'll kind of spin around here, but can you talk about the NAEP, the National Assessment Education Progress Report Card, these numbers that you cite with the U.S. Department of Education, and you start with talking about Pennsylvania eighth grade students and whether or not their proficiency in math and reading, and then you go to Philadelphia looking at those numbers. Can you take me through those numbers? It's shocking.
Yeah, unfortunately, the nation's report card showed that 69% of Pennsylvania 8th grade students are not proficient at math, and an equal 69% are not proficient at reading. And unfortunately, it gets even worse in Philadelphia, where 85% of 8th graders are not proficient in math, and 82% are below proficient in reading. And unfortunately, again, these scores are a significant decline from the pre-pandemic performance levels.
Yeah, so, you know, you call for the Lifeline, and that was something he had promised, the Lifeline scholarships. So in this one, I think what he's doing, because I don't really know how he can get this through, and you point out that, for example, that rainy day fund is not supposed to be used for new programs. So how does he do this without pushing through the marijuana? I mean, I think that, right, that's why he wants to do what other states have done to pay for their programs and bloat their budgets, is just to legalize the recreational marijuana.
Yeah, that's one of his proposals, along with a new tax on games of skill. And while in theory these new taxes would boost revenue, the Independent Fiscal Office, kind of the fiscal watchdog of the state, found that Shapiro's revenue projections for these programs are actually a little bit overstated by about $4 billion over the next 3 years. So while he's proposed these things and he thinks they'll generate a certain amount of revenue, you never really know until it's implemented and you can see.
Yeah. So what the other piece of this is, you think about drill, baby, drill, right? Pennsylvania, that we are sitting on we are living on liquid gold, basically. And we hear that over and over from those on both sides of the aisle. And so, you know, you suggest in your piece that, you know, why don't they just focus on growing the economy, bringing back the jobs, as a lot of these jobs, we've seen them. They've left, they've gone south, and the regulations have been tough. So such that for all of those individuals who are trying to, you know, make it in the energy sector, they've left. And isn't that the answer to grow the economy, as you suggest?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at the migration numbers, and Pennsylvania has actually lost residents to other states in 14 of the past 15 years. We've seen a total net loss of over 300,000 individuals leaving for states with more opportunities, like Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas. Those states with better economic opportunity, lower cost of living, and really, you know, more options for families to thrive. So it would have been nice to see a bigger focus on that in Governor Shapiro's budget.
Yeah, and so in this one, in fact, you're talking about what the budget does include: $1.6 billion in corporate welfare spending. And take me through that, if you would. Some new programs that, as you point out here, could not be funded by a rainy day fund, right? Because he's saying these five new corporate programs, they would be new. Technically, you can't fund those with the rainy day fund that he wants to tap into, right?
Yeah, correct. This corporate welfare spending, a certain degree of it is already into the budget. I believe he proposes increasing it by about $100 million this year. And the fact is that these programs and these tax credits, they have a very poor return on investment. You look at some of the tax credits, most of them are returning less than 25 cents per dollar spent. And then some of these programs, they're benefiting some of the country's largest corporations like Netflix, Google, and Amazon that really do not need support, the support of Pennsylvania taxpayers.
And, you know, so what Governor Shapiro, what he's saying is that his budget proposal, he says that he's all about Mr. Common Sense, that this is a common sense plan. He says it builds on 2 years of progress under him by solving more problems. And he says it makes Pennsylvania more competitive. You say what?
I would say that's not exactly true. In terms of competitiveness, we found that one of the most important things when you're looking at state-to-state competitiveness is tax rates. And as proposed, his $4.8 billion budget deficit would eventually necessitate a $1,900 tax hike per family of four in Pennsylvania. And, you know, this is a time where other states are cutting their income taxes, cutting their corporate taxes, cutting their regulations and other business taxes. And if we're spending at a rate that's going to necessitate a tax increase, we're just not going to be competitive with those states.
Now, one thing that he pointed out, and he's saying, well, he actually does things like he makes Pennsylvania more affordable, for example, through making childcare more affordable and attracting workers in that regard. Do you think some of those programs that he's behind, that he's hailing, really can make that kind of difference?
They may to a certain extent, but looking at, you know, state-to-state migration data, which is really, you know, that's the nuts and bolts of attracting people to your state, the Tax Foundation does some great research, and they found that really taxation is the biggest reason Americans are consistently moving from high-tax states to low-tax states. Yeah. That's why states like California, you know, the weather's great out there, but the taxes are so high that people are leaving. People are leaving states like New York, states like Pennsylvania, and they're moving to states like Florida, Texas, North Carolina, and South Carolina.
Yeah, you see that. And also, I think part of the reason you look at our energy bills here in Pennsylvania, I think on average, there have been reports that we pay, and I'm thinking about my PECO bill, we pay something like 42% more than a lot of these southern states like you're talking about. Wow. And obviously they have milder climates, so that's a piece of it, but also just the cost of energy. So I'm just countering, just to let you know, like I'm looking at one of the speeches that he gave about his budget. He says 170,000 more Pennsylvanians are working today than when he started his term 2 years ago. He says they've enrolled about 12,000 new apprentices. So they're giving young people the jobs in apprenticeships, and they have attracted more than $3 billion in private sector dollars. So what do you say to all of that? One of the themes in his speeches is Pennsylvania on the rise. Pennsylvania on the rise. In a lot of his speeches, that's a theme that he keeps saying, but are we really?
I would say no, we are not really on the rise. And I think it comes back to the spending and the migration. I think that tells the story. We are spending way more than we're taking in. We're burning our general fund reserves. The governor has plans to start burning through our rainy day fund reserves. And all this is going to necessitate a tax hike in the future. And we are continuing to lose residents to other more economically competitive states. And while we are, you know, attracting people from less economically competitive states like New York and New Jersey, those gains are not enough to offset what we are losing to Florida, Texas, and the Carolinas.
And I also want to get to the bailout for failing mass transit systems that you talk about. So, you know, I think this for us in Philadelphia, or let's say Pittsburgh, you know, people may say, oh, great, this is fantastic. We want our transit systems.
That's where I'm at.
Right.
Like where I'm at is I think we need a bailout, to be quite honest with you. And I'm curious what Andrew says to it, because you look at the trains here and you get the impression that SEPTA just doesn't have money to spend to, you know, fix what they've got going on. You got people shooting up on the trains. You got security issues left and right. And it's dangerous at this point to ride trains. So is it not healthy to fund SEPTA to give them, you know, more help to secure our trains? You know, where does Andrew stand there?
I think, you know, if the state were under different financial circumstances, it may make sense. But the truth is, you know, SEPTA is operating at a $200 million plus budget deficit, and the state is operating at a $3.6 billion plus deficit. So really, there's not enough money to go around because of the way we've spent our money in the past. Taking a a bigger look at SEPTA, they're actually already more reliant on state funding than other similar sized mass transit agencies. I was looking at some FTA data, that's the Federal Transit Administration, and of mass transit agencies with over $1 billion in operating costs, SEPTA actually receives the fourth largest share of state funding. State funding accounts for about 45.4% of SEPTA's operating budget. And, you know, along the same lines, SEPTA actually receives the third smallest share of funding from FAERS. That's about 20%. And, you know, you look at ridership data, ridership is still down compared to pre-pandemic, and SEPTA's going through those safety issues that you mentioned. So I think, you know, along those lines, the state simply does not have enough money to bail out SEPTA with our multi-billion dollar budget deficit. And while, you know, I feel for the people in the Southeast who rely on SEPTA to get to work, get to their jobs, et cetera, the fact of the matter is that if the state continues to spend money this way, the entire state's going to really be feeling the pain from that.
Yeah, and I think people, unless you're in the city or, you know, it's an advantage to you, like Pittsburgh or Philadelphia, I think everybody else in the state says, why are we basically, you know, the taxes go up, or why are we paying billions to bail out a system that we can't use? And so I think that becomes a thorn in people's side.
And there's a lot of misguidedness to SEPTA's leadership. I'm not going to put this in our guest's mouth at all, but there's been projects proposed that would spend tons of money it just seems like the budgetary money that's going towards SEPTA in some cases is just being directed in the wrong direction. So maybe that whole security issue could be fixed within. So I hate to trash my own point from earlier, but after hearing what he says, I mean, I kind of vibe with it, you know?
Well, here's what I would ask out loud. When you think about, let's say, Europe, you think about getting a Euro pass, and you can travel through Europe, all of Europe. Imagine if we could do this in America. We have this amazing country, this beautiful nation. And imagine if we had an America pass, that you had a train system, like a monorail or whatever, that you had a train system that then you could tap into, mm-hmm. not just for urban areas, but for the entire country. That would help with tourism. It would help with so much. And for anybody worried about the environment, obviously it's cleaner, you know, to have people travel in that regard rather than fly or drive their SUV.
Private industry hasn't mm-hmm. kind of taken it upon yeah. itself to do something in that manner.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's, I just think that the bottom line on this is that we have a system that's archaic. I think that's a piece of it. But also, I will point out that what the city of Philadelphia, and part of this, and it's a sin, is that our school children here, middle school and all high schoolers, every high schooler does not have a school bus. Like every kid in the country, as far as in the suburbs, basically has door-to-door service with that yellow school bus that, you know, drops them off and all of that. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for that I see is that, in fact, it's not a cost-saving thing. It's so that SEPTA has guaranteed customers, our Ooh, school children.
Wow, yeah.
And so that's the price our kids in Philadelphia, and I'm a longtime Philadelphia resident, and so our kids pay that price because they have to ride SEPTA, middle school, high school level, and then you're not really feeling safe, and then you have kids shot at on the, you know, or victimized or targeted by thugs while they're waiting on a SEPTA platform. And so I would just add that.
And in the report, Commonwealth Foundation does make it clear that they do recognize the benefit of transportation funding. But as our guest said, you know, it's just, there's such a deficit in Pennsylvania. But I do wonder, is there a future that the Commonwealth Foundation sees for public transit, or like how do you see them recovering then, Andrew, if not from state funding?
Yeah, I think, you know, for Seth, it's kind of important to look internally. I know a few years ago there was a lot of talk about the bus revolution, where for the first time in 50 or 60 years, they were actually stopping and taking a look at the bus services that they were offering, kind of evaluating them, seeing if it's the most efficient way to serve the customers, and seeing if there was any room for improvement. And that bus revolution actually made it pretty far, up until the point where it was ready to be implemented. And it would have represented significant cost savings for SEPTA. But they paused implementation, citing that they did not have enough money to implement the cost saving measure of the bus revolution. Which, you know, doesn't make much sense to me. But I think, you know, it was a good step in kind of taking a look at what they're offering, how they can improve it, how they can make it more efficient, and how they can create a better product for those customers. I think that's going to be the way forward for SEPTA.
All right. Well, listen, it's great to meet you. Commonwealth Foundation, you can read his entire, it's a great article, and you've got a lot of details, a ton of information in here. Really appreciate it. So as far as the haircut goes, just to end on this, Dan says you've cut it a little bit or reshaped since the official headshot for the Commonwealth Foundation there?
Yes. It was it was completely cut down. I am growing it out again.
Wait. You completely cut off every. I thought you just trimmed it down. Like you actually went like full on head shave or
yep.
What?
Wow. Yeah, I was rocking like a fade for a little bit. Pretty much no hair on the sides, but it's grown out again. And the mullet will be back next week.
I was telling Dawn, it's honestly one of the most glorious mullets I've ever seen, and you have the facial structure that really works with it, and you rock it well. So I suggest growing it back, brother. It looks good.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andrew Holman. Commonwealth Foundation, we really appreciate you, and what a great sport you've been to. So thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.